Good morning. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah. Is that why you sit up here? So you can just be close to the action? Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know any people sitting beside you or behind you, let's introduce yourselves. Was a quiet week in Lake Wobegon. We had so much action here this week with Vacation Bible School. I think we had 46 or 47 kids and then as many grandmas taking care of each kid. We had only one child cry, and that was because they couldn't come back. So it was a real good problem. Thanks to everybody who put that program together. What a wonderful ministry. This place, this house, this church was filled with love every day, and it was really a special place. And you guys were traveling up the North Shore someplace, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Ely Town. Okay. Yeah, well, welcome home. A couple of things. One is we have a new sound system we're putting in, and we've had to block off that row. We're putting a cabinet in there, but it isn't here yet, so... if you've got to walk up that aisle, better to come up this way, okay? And I just let you know that's going to be blocked. And so we got to put up with that this morning. The other thing is, the last two Sundays, no one signed up to serve coffee. So if you could, we still put coffee on today. You'll still have coffee. You're not going to have that usual bar or cookie. Can you live without that, Ron? Yeah, you're going to have to. That's exactly right. I was going to say something about communion wafers, but I better not. Anyway, if you could sign up, that would be helpful. Veggie Stand opens next week, next Saturday. Our friend Elsa Carlson is having health problems, and she and Chuck have been pretty much the head honchos the last couple of years. But she's not going to be able to help. So if you can help out with the veggie stand, I see here that Vukaliches are going to help, which is great. But I know we've lost our friend Joyce Reimer, who used to bake pies, and Elsa, she used to bake all week. And if you, I said last time I said ladies, if you ladies, do you bake? No. And does any guy here bake anything? Okay, I won't say you, oh. If you bake sometime this week, make a little extra for the veggie stand, okay? Thanks, John. You don't look like the baking type. Okay. Yeah. And last, I see that we're going to receive a special offering for my brother. About a month ago, my brother's house burned down right to the ground. He lives on a lake between Mora and Hinckley. Got a nephew who's an entrepreneur. He was doing business in Slovakia. He was on Facebook at night. He saw Uncle Ricky's house burning down. He called my sister in Florida and said, Uncle Ricky's house is burning down. My sister called me Sunday afternoon. Ricky's house is burning down. I called my brother and sister. They heard nothing about it. But we went down to see how they were doing. The only thing he saved was his cell phone and his wallet. And he had one garage that he had tools in. And anyway, someone said, could we take an offering for him? This might be the thing that pushes it over the edge that it might get him to church. That's not funny. That happens a lot. Yeah, you take note too, John. Yeah.
I got one older brother in mind.
Okay. But if he sees the church cares for him enough to help him down the road, that's what that's about, okay? Our friend John here is interviewing, has interviewed up at a place called Lance in the UP. How did it go? Let's take a vote to see if he should take that church in Lance. Mom says yes, please. The kid needs a job. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Let's open our worship with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are reminded today that you promise us joy in our lives and peace in our souls. As we draw close to you, help us to experience this joy and this peace. We thank you for the blessings of this past week. Some of us had an opportunity to fish and vacation. Some of us had an opportunity to work with children. Some of us are going through troubled times. But we all gather on Sunday morning to say our prayers, to hear your word, to sing hymns of praise. And so we pray your spirit might be with us in this room, in our hearts, this day. Bless us with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 434. Each one of these tunes has a little entryway, so we'll try and figure things out. We're using canned music, and I think it'll be okay, but we're going to sing the first, second, and last verse. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together, just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite our bell choir to play their praises to the Lord.
Thank you, ladies. The first reading is from Galatians 5. For Paul, the freedom Christ gives is not permission to do whatever we want. It is the invitation to be what we could not be otherwise. The power and guidance of Christ's Holy Spirit produce a different kind of life, one marked by the fruit of this Holy Spirit. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. In the psalm is Psalm 16. At the bold R, repeat, I have set the Lord always before me. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my God, you are my Lord, my good above all other.
All my delight is in the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names upon my lips. I have set the Lord always before me.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. I have set the Lord always before me.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Please rise for the gospel.
Thank you, Don.
The Holy Gospel for this sixth Sunday after Pentecost is found in the ninth chapter of St. Luke. Jesus is unwavering in his commitment to his mission in Jerusalem and will not be swayed by pettiness. In a series of striking cases in point, he calls his disciples to a similar single-mindedness. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn. Sing the first three verses of 818.
Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was reminded when Don was reading the epistle lesson from Galatians, for freedom Christ has set us free. Next Saturday and Sunday, we've got these professional musicians that will be coming up to celebrate our freedom. Next weekend is 4th of July weekend already, so 5 o'clock on Saturday and 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. But we're singing old-time religious songs, and if you've got a favorite one, John Cozio said, we can play anything you guys name. If you've got a favorite one, either let me know ahead of time so I'll put it on the schedule, or maybe we'll just ask any favorite hymns, okay? But these are some great musicians, so I'd invite you for that. And then I thought, well, Don and Keith, they put on the 4th of July parade, and that's going to be on Monday? Oh, yeah. Life is a parade in Glen. Yeah. So make sure, what time does that, 10:30 at your place. They leave the north side. Last year we had a float or a trailer. Are we going to have that this year, Jerry? Yes. If you'd like to ride the trailer, see Jerry in the back. He was the greeter today. But people brought all this candy, you know. The first mile, they threw it all out. I says, gee, this goes on, you know. And by the time we got to the end, there was an angry crowd saying, where's my candy? It's a real episode in American greed. No, that's a 500 American, how big are the flags? Nice, huh? Okay, good. All right, Mills, thanks. Yeah, so lots of activity next weekend. If you haven't been to the Glen Parade, it's probably one of the strongest pieces of Americana there is in Minnesota. So go on over there. Let's get back to the lessons today. Most of you have heard the old-time story about Satan. He called a meeting in hell to meet with his advisors. He wanted to develop a new strategy for causing havoc on the earth, and so he asked his best people to come up with some ideas. And so one advisor said, tell them there's no heaven. Then they won't have anything to live for. Another one says, tell them there's no hell, and then they will just drift into us. And the third one said, tell them there's no hurry. And it ends up that that's probably the most important thing in our faith journeys is we figure we don't have to do it now. There's no hurry. In today's lesson, we get a little glimpse of what I'm talking about there. Jesus encounters a man, says, come follow me. And the man says, first let me go bury my father. Well, here's an interesting response. We don't know much about this man. Had his father just died, or is his father old and he's got to stay and take care of him? Or was he simply saying that he had a responsibility somewhere else and that someday, sometime, his father will die and then he'll find out who the Lord is and follow Jesus? I thought of you, Dale, when, you know, you talked to me about your son, Tom. Maybe if Jesus would ask him, follow me, he'd say, I'm going to stay and wait till my father dies, and here you keep hanging on and hanging on. Or I think of my brother, Ricky, whose house burned down. We put it off and put it off until some big episode happens, and then all of a sudden you don't have anything in the tank and you start saying your prayers. Jesus says, follow me. He wants us. It's important that we do it. Instead, we say, let the dead bury the dead. Another said to him, follow me. Another one said to him, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Yeah, it's important to say goodbye to your family. That's a sensible response. But remember, Jesus can see into our hearts. He knows what's going on in here and up here. And we can give all kinds of excuses. If you want peace in your heart and joy in your soul, you're going to find it in Jesus, okay? And that's what he's saying, follow me. It might trouble you that Jesus treated you these people this way, that he could see into people's hearts. He knew when someone had a legitimate concern, and he knows when we're using delay tactics. Jesus says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. It may trouble you that Jesus treated people this way, but he's telling it like it is, I think, huh? Jesus knew that in the truly important things of life, there's a need for urgency in some areas. Some things simply can't be put off with a threat of dire circumstances. Consider expressing our love for the people who are closest to us. Expressing love simply can't be put off. I remember a while back, someone wrote to Dear Abby and asked what was the most requested reprinting that she was asked to put in the paper. She put it in. She replied it with this one. This is the letter that Abby has requested with the most. Dear Abby, I'm the most heartbroken person on the earth. I always found time to go everywhere else but to see my aging parents. They sat at home, loving me just the same. Now when I go to visit their graves, I wonder if God will ever forgive me for the heartaches I must have caused them. Can you feel the regret in those words? Now, I look around this congregation, and we either have no hair or gray hair. And you probably know what it is to see your kids here, go here, and not ever come home. I say they've got to live their lives. You say they've got to live their lives. I understand that. But do we have any regrets that we didn't spend more time with our parents? Some of you are the best examples I've ever seen in caring and loving and visiting your aging parents. I wish I would have known you long ago, because I would have done a better job. But some things simply can't be put off, like expressing our love for someone special. There's an urgency in love. Children grow up. Time takes its toll in the aging process. There's some persons whose love we treasure who might not be with us tomorrow. So we better let them know today. You might know the story of that very bashful young man who was hesitant about demonstrating his affection for his sweetheart, and one day he said, oh, I wish I was an octopus, then I could wrap 8 arms around you. And his impatient sweetheart said, well, don't worry about the 8 arms, just do a better job with the 2. Sometimes there's an urgency in expressing our love. There can sometimes be an even greater urgency about altering our lifestyles. Jesus says, follow me. Maybe there's some things we're doing in our life that aren't so squared up, huh? We have to change our way of living. And we should do it now. Daily we're confronted with tragic stories of the inroads that drug abuse makes into our society. Ball players and movie stars and children of famous political families, as well as ordinary citizens by the thousands, are having their lives destroyed by this modern plague of drugs. How low does a person have to sink? How much money do we have to spend? How many people do we have to hurt before we say, whoa, this is it. I've got to get this under control. There comes a time when fighting a destructive habit or a debilitating weakness, when you say, I've got to stop it now or it's going to be too late. We all know stories like that. It's an awful thing to wake up and realize that it's too late to save your marriage. Too late, you're pregnant. Too late, you're addicted. Too late, you're caught. You brought a disgrace down and betrayal on your family and friends. Too late, you had that tragic accident because you knew you should have been careful, done things differently. Sometimes there's an urgency in changing the way we're living. Stop, for God's sake, we tell ourselves. This inner voice says, stop right now before it's too late. Jesus is thinking, sometimes we got to change right now. Follow me right now, he says. There's built into life an important urgency when it comes to the things that really matter. Most crucially, I found recently, is a relationship to Christ. We can put that off and put that off and put that off. But in my experience, there's the loneliness factor out there. There's this produce factor. There's things that pull us away. But I've had to ask, what's most important in my life? What's most important in the life of these people? I think sooner or later we get to a place where, and you've heard me say it before, we've got to have a little peace in our heart and joy in our soul at the end of the day. That means we've lived life well. We lived life big. We're not worrying about this or running and hustling here and doing a rotten business deal here or all these things. It's at the end of the day, where do you find your peace and your joy? I think you and I have been called to be Christian. You and I, through the ages, have been called to follow the teachings of Jesus. And he says, I'll always tell you the truth. I will show you a way where you will have some peace and joy and meaning and purpose. In today's lesson, Jesus encounters two men who want to delay making a commitment to him. And Jesus rebukes them, basically. He says, you're not going to find it. You know, his invitation is always an invitation to do it now. Procrastination is a major problem in many people's lives. It complicates our lives in so many ways, but we don't realize it. You've heard me say, too, put something in the bank. Dale, you've heard that, haven't you? Yeah. I go to funerals and people are, whoa, what's wrong? We haven't put anything in the bank. We haven't trusted God. This week, Vacation Bible School, the toughest lesson for me to teach was 5 and 6 year olds, 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, about the crucifixion of Christ. And they wanted to do a bloody kind of a thing, you know, and holy smokes. You're not going to scare people into heaven. I had to remind each child that they are special, that there's never been anyone born like you. There's never one any had the same gifts and talents and thoughts and dreams and creativity as you. There's never, ever been anybody like you, and there never will be anybody since. You're special, and God loves you, so embrace who you are. That's who we are. And if we go back to that, we'll understand our nature. We are loved by God. One of those little, the older ones, probably in 5th grade or 6th grade, we were talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I said, who's your picture of God? And they pointed to a picture on the wall. That's a picture. And we said, well, that's someone's idea, but God is so great we can't understand him. And God said he was going to send his son. Who's his son? Jesus. And I had to tell him, anytime a pastor asks a question, 90% of the time the answer is Jesus. Okay? So they'd always ask her, Jesus, Jesus. Anyway, God said he's going to send his son, Jesus, to show us how to live. And God was going to send his Holy Spirit to live with us forever and ever and ever. But one of the kids said God was a judge. And he's going to be the one who shakes you up. He's going to one who makes you behave. And Jesus is the one who's going to show you how to love. God, holy smokes, I hope he's not learning it from me, because our God created us and it was good from the very beginning. But we have our theologies. We got to work on the theologies. Anyway, there's lots of major roadblocks to our journeys. Jesus invites us to follow him. The best thing we can do is to do it now, huh? Time's passing quickly. And so much time is being wasted because we don't have a great purpose in our life. Our purpose is to love and serve. And another reason we should be doing it now is because there's a world that has a need. I mean, in this materialistic age and society we live, we've grown callous to the fact that there are all kinds of boys and girls and men and women dying of malnutrition and disease brought on by one thing, poverty. We have it made here. We live in a place where people vacation. Most of us have roofs over our head and food on our tables and health care right there and great education and clean water and clean air. But maybe Jesus is saying when he says, follow me, is do you care enough for these ones who are starving, that these ones who are dying? Every minute is a lost moment. Last week we heard about a friend that our church supports, Dara, who gave her life to Mozambique. Wow. Isn't that something? Yeah, we've got it pretty good. Jesus says, follow me. So I challenge you today. How are you following? How are you following Jesus? Satan's most effective tool. Tell them there's no heaven? No. Tell them there's no hell? No. Tell them there's no hurry. There's no hurry. Friends, there are some things in life in which there really is a hurry. Giving your life and service to Christ really is urgent in lots and lots and lots of ways. So I'd invite you to do it today. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Let's join in singing Jesus, the Very Thought of You, 754. Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 5. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Anointing God, you commission us for our ministry in daily life. You also call us to pass our faith and ministry on to the next generation. Inspire us in our equipping of others. Lord, in your mercy. God of creation, you've given us all we need. Inspire us to honor your creation as an inheritance and trust. Lord, in your mercy. God of the nations, the distractions of the world draw our attention away from you. Refocus us in our commitment to your ways and the justice you desire for the world. Lord, in your mercy. Through the fruits of your Spirit, make us healers in the world. Bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control into the lives of all in need. We pray especially for our friends who need your healing touch. Be with Mary Long, Elsa Carlson, Dee Olson, Alfie and Dean. Be with Bill Johnson, Lois Johnson, Ron and Carol Haas, and all those others in our lives who need your presence, your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. Steadfast God, guide this congregation by your Spirit. Make us neighbors to each other, ready to be and receive strangers, and show us how to love our neighbors as you intend. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for a wonderful week with Vacation Bible School kids. Thank you for parents who trusted us with their children. Thank you for all the teachers and helpers that came forward. We ask your blessing to continue to walk with us, be with us as we celebrate our freedom next weekend. Help us never to take those things for granted. And we'd ask, Heavenly Father, that you might keep our loved ones close to you this day. O God, you have called the saints your own. Gather us with them into your kingdom, and the promise of life forever with you. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting your promise to hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Proclaim the good news. Our closing hymn is 665. Rise, shine, you people.
Jesus, freedom, life, and